You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. UC Berkeley professor Aya De Leon lit up the Bay Area's slam poetry scene back in the 90s. Now she's a novelist. Her award-winning series, Justice Hustlers, features action-packed, erotic feminist heist stories where the sheroes are sex workers. They rob wealthy misogynists and help the women they've exploited. Her latest book, Side Chick Nation, is the first published novel that explores the aftermath of Puerto Rico's Hurricane Maria. She sat down with KALW's Janae Darden to share more.
Art is in your blood. Your mom is a sculptor, and your dad is blues singer Taj Mahal. I can't even imagine the influence that they both had on you.
My mom, she was a ceramic sculptor when I was a kid, and then she developed allergies to her materials, and then she reinvented herself as a civil rights attorney when I was in middle school, yeah, which was wild. And then when I was a young adult, she reinvented herself again as a jazz singer and club owner and did that for, I think, like 10, 20 years. She was also the first Latina elected to the Board of Education in Berkeley. So a lot of activism. What I got from my mom, in addition to her being the one actually doing the parenting, what I got from her was just this idea that women of color could do anything. My dad, you know, he has always put the music first. And so he's been deep, deep in the music and the culture. But as far as parenting, like, that's never been his jam. So one thing, though, that I really did get from him was getting to see a Black artist who was connected to me really doing it big in the world. And I know that that's had a huge influence on me. Also, just the influence of being connected to your roots. You know, even in this series, I'm very connected. You know, I'm connecting. Each book connects to a different part of my family's roots. You know, my mom is a big reader of mystery. So I came up reading, you know, seeing her reading mystery. I came up reading, you know, Agatha Christie. And then as I got older, looking for the people of color and especially the women of color writing mystery. So I read a lot of mystery. And then, you know, most recently I've shifted to be a little bit more interested in sort of spy and heist and thrillers. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that's out there, you know, in terms of the thriller stuff, it's just so misogynistic, so much with the white supremacy, right? But I like that sense of action. I like a good, you know, a good action plot. And so, you know, I'm over here doing my activism, but then I'm reading all these books by white people about, you know, with this action, but, you know, the goals of what their characters want don't necessarily match my values. And so part of what I wanted to do was to start creating the books of the people who are like my people with the values that are like my values, but with the action and the drama, you know, and I just wanted to make it, especially, you know, for the millennial crowd, make it extra sexy, you know.
Especially because I think sometimes people think, you know, when you talk about social justice issues, it's boring.
Right.
And you made it really exciting and fun. And,
right. Mm-hmm. Well, or it's sort of a downer.
Or it's a downer.
Like, well, we got to, you know, we're going to get people activated by showing them how bad it really is. Right. You know, and there's a place we need to be informed.
You talk about stereotypes and you've had a hard time getting your book into like feminist bookstores. You have a, it's interesting because I can go to Walmart and Target and see your book, which is what a lot of writers dream of. Mm-hmm. But it's like if I go to maybe an academic bookstore, it's not in there. Okay, this is book four in this series. Is this still an issue?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think so. Some of it has to do with just, you know, racism, sexism, and particularly classism within literary culture, right? The other thing really has to do with distribution channels. I'm really doing a lot of different things, though. So it's very much urban fiction. And there, it's not, I'm not the first, you know, person writing feminist work in urban fiction, but it's not the norm. Part of what I wanted to do was create stories where we win. Like, I want to win.
And so you went to Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria to, I guess, look at the devastation, research for this book. What was it like there?
as someone of Puerto Rican heritage living in California, I'm so far, mm-hmm. not just from Puerto Rico, but from New York, Miami, Chicago, places that have a really long-standing, multi-generational Puerto Rican community. There's community here, but it's much
right.
smaller.
Yeah, you think yeah. you always think of New York.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't so much that it was hard to go. It's more like to go meant to confront the grief, you know, just the huge feelings of grief. That particular disaster for those of us in the diaspora, it was like this grief and also this survivor's guilt and also just this incredible rage about colonization and just that feeling of helplessness that we couldn't possibly do enough, you know? And so that I had to show up for all of that, you know, and as we had talked about before, you know, all that healing work just meant that I had the support system to do a lot of crying and raging about it. And I showed up and connected with friends and looked around, drove around for the first time, rented a car and drove around. And there was devastation still in San Juan. And that was maybe 8 months out. I went late June. And there were in the city of San Juan, there were still like traffic lights that weren't working. Mm-hmm. Driving out into the more interior of the island and outside of the city and, you know, just seeing incredible devastation. And still there are houses without roofs. This is absolutely a crisis of colonization. You know, there are a bunch of demands coming out of Puerto Rico and liberation organizing right now. One is cancel the debt. And even before that, just audit the debt. Like, you know, it's like sharecropping. Folks are, you know, these institutions that there are no checks and balances on their power are saying, Puerto Rico, you owe this much. But like, can we audit the debt? Can we see where those numbers come from?
Can you explain that? What do you mean by that?
The first thing that people need to know is that Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States and has been a colony since 1898. And that means that the United States controls Puerto Rico economically, politically, and militarily. And so recently, within the past couple of decades, particularly due to U.S. policies, whereby the U.S., for example, set it up so that U.S. and other multinational corporations could go to Puerto Rico and be tax-free, right? So it attracted a lot of quote-unquote investment. So these corporations came, they had these different factories and other kinds of operations that were completely tax-free, and they were tax-free for a period of time. And they came and they enjoyed their tax-free time. And then when the tax-free years ended, did they stay and pay taxes? No, they left. And so it completely gutted that economic development strategy, completely gutted Puerto Rico economically. And then, you know, there were worldwide recessions, et cetera. So during that time, Puerto Rico got into debt. To go back to, you know, the end of 2017, and I was writing this other book, and I thought, I have to write, my next book has to be about the hurricane. And I'm writing romantic suspense, I'm writing urban fiction, I'm writing feminist heist, and I, you know, it's a romance. So there has to be a woman who I can have go through this book and have some experience that transforms her life, including a romantic arc.
There's heavy issues there, but it's also juicy. So within that, so you're learning about all these heavy issues, what's going on, but then there's this really great storyline. With Dulce.
Dulce was this character who gets rescued and they rescue her and they send her up. Spoiler alert, they rescue her and she has a dad in Cuba, or she has a Cuban dad and she has grandparents and aunts and uncles in Cuba. So she gets sent to Cuba, she's rescued, she's safe, the people who are after her can't get to her there, and it's all wrapped up. And I was like, oh.
She's already
Yeah, so I could unwrap that situation. And so, you know, and it actually didn't take much, right, to figure So here's Dulce. She gets rescued, but, you know, she's a pretty serious trauma survivor. And sometimes, for those of us who are trauma survivors, when we're in a peaceful situation that's like calm and supportive and loving, we might feel bored or restless, or, you know, we might sabotage that. So I really was, intrigued by the idea of Dulce sabotaging her rescue.
That was Aya De Leon. Her latest novel is called Side Chick Nation. She spoke with KALW's Janae Darden.